In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson this morning from the prophet Jeremiah. A dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Two items in the news that I saw last week reminded me to remind you of what an undeserved blessing of God's grace it is to believe and confess the mission statement that appears on the front of our worship folder. We preach, teach, and share God's Word in its truth and purity. What I'm about to say does not apply to the invisible church, to the Holy Christian Church, all believers. But it does apply to visible churches which do make a public confession of what they believe. Last week, the Vatican said that anyone who attended the World Youth Rally this coming week or followed the Pope on Twitter would win the gift of an indulgence that would release them from many years in purgatory. There was also an article about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America that it is one of the fastest declining churches in membership in the United States. According to what I read, it has lost nearly a quarter of its members in the last 20 years. And the reason given for that great loss is the Evangelical Lutheran Church's position on fellowship and homosexuality. Please understand that I don't relate these things to you with any relish, thanking God that we are not like other men. At the same time, I want us to understand that false teachings like this are not simply the result of a different way of interpreting the Bible. Such false teachings stem from one thing, and that is a denial and rejection of the authority of the Holy Scriptures. The Roman Catholic Church, by its own admission, places tradition and the teachings of the Church above the Word of God. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America collectively confesses that the Bible is not the inspired and inerrant Word of God. In both of these churches and others like them, visible denominations around a public confession are filled with false prophets who are trying by their much speaking to drown out what the Lord says. They are trying with the thoughts and dreams of their own hearts to drown out the words that come from the Lord's mouth. Sadly, this is nothing new. It's nothing unexpected. This is what had happened in Israel and Judah at the time of the prophet Jeremiah, that led to the children of Israel and Judah being carried away by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. With words like our text, the Lord encouraged and commended the true prophets of God not to become discouraged, not to give up, but to keep preaching and sharing the Word of God. And the Lord puts it this way, recorded by Jeremiah. Let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. Why? Well, first, to do otherwise brings only false hopes. And secondly, why? So that God's people, the Holy Christian Church, the community of saints, will not be led astray and forget the Lord's name. The Holy Scriptures carry many warnings against false teachers. God here warns against false prophets in other places, first of all, because false prophets are not God's spokesman. The Lord says through Jeremiah, I did not send these prophets. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If a preacher or teacher says something that isn't God's word, then we recognize that that person is not called by God. God never sends someone to preach lies or to preach deceit. If there is no message of sin that damns completely and no message of salvation completely only in Jesus Christ, then those prophets do not speak for the Lord. The Lord did not send them. There are really only two sources of doctrine or teaching, and one of them is not different but of equal value interpretations of the same clear word of Holy Scripture. The only two sources of doctrine that are taught, of doctrines that are taught in the church, are man's heart or God's mouth. Those are the only two places that teachings can come from. False prophets, false teachers speak from the ideas and views, the dreams of their own hearts, that put things into their minds, that put things into their dreams, not only literal dreams, but dreams for their church body. We just heard in the reading of our gospel lesson what comes from human hearts, what comes from natural hearts that fills our minds and our dreams. Is this a good source of teaching for God's people? For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. The Lord points out in many places that He did from time to time, and very often in the Old Testament, use dreams as a way of revelation to His prophets. But the false prophets use their dreams as anti-revelation. They use dreams to support their lies and their deceit, because their dreams and their teachings do not include a law revealed from God that is changeless, that shows us our sin and condemns us to hell. Their ideas and their dreams for their churches do not include salvation and the forgiveness of sins only by the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross, by His perfect obedience, and by His holy sacrifice. False prophets do not follow Psalm 1, which we sang for our psalm this morning. The psalmist, or David, or the Lord says of those false prophets, which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Remember Psalm 1 talked about standing in the Lord's counsel? To see and hear His word. Who has listened and heard His word? False doctrine does not come from different but equally valuable interpretations of the same clear word of God. False doctrine comes from a disdain for God's word. It comes from a rejection of God's word. Let me give you an example in our own relationship as preacher and hearer When I sit down to prepare a sermon, I don't sit down to interpret that Word of God by giving it a meaning. I sit down and I ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to lead me so that I can discover His meaning, so that I can share His meaning with you and with me. I try to read, mark, learn, and take God's Word to heart so that I can share it with you, so you can do those things that we pray for, to read, mark, learn, and take it to heart. What does mark mean? It means pay attention. Remember when your mother said to you, "Young man, you mark my words." Or, "Young lady, you mark my word." That means that we listen to it and we take it to heart. The Lord says of those prophets, who of them ever did that? Who ever really stood in my counsel to hear what I had to say? Who of them ever really listened to the Word of God? They didn't. Because they don't like what God's Word says. Or they think there's some hidden meaning behind Scripture that only they are able to really discover and to share with God's people. They say the Bible could not mean that because the real meaning is hidden. Or it couldn't mean that because that's not what I want it to mean because it doesn't fit in with my theology. What are false prophets doing to people? Yes, what would they do even to us should we be foolish or careless enough to listen to them? The Lord warns us, they fill you with false hope. I like the King James translation better there. It's, they make you vain. Or literally, they fill you with vanity. They fill you with emptiness. Kind of a slang way of saying that is they're blowing smoke. There's really nothing there. And that's what they're trying to fill our hearts with, something that is not God's Word, something that will not strengthen our faith. They are offering nothing. And yet, if we listen to what the Lord says is their ceaseless flow of words, then we are just as guilty. Then we are just as responsible if we listen to them. The Lord points out their lies. They keep saying to those who despise me, that is, those who reject God, who don't believe in Him, "You will have peace." And to all who follow their stubborn hearts that say, they say, "No harm will come to you." In other words, false prophets say to people who reject the one true God, "Oh, you'll have peace through your idol, through your faith in your false God." Or they say, "Well, you can still be a Christian and love and live in things that God clearly says are sins and that God commands us to repent of and turn away from because they're contrary to His will." The Lord says the anger of the Lord will not turn back. False prophets and those who listen to them will one day face God's wrath and judgment. God sums up His thoughts by saying, "Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, and let the one who has my word speak it faithfully." God allows false prophets to continue to preach their lies. He continues until judgment day to allow people to foolishly listen to them and believe them. And there, but by the grace of God, go we. What a blessing and privilege of God's undeserved grace that He has given us fellowship in a church body that, to date, listens to God's Word and takes it to heart. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that the Lord says that let him who has my word speak it faithfully? Well, it's so important so that we don't forget the Lord's name. Remember from Catechism, the Lord's name is not just what we call him, but everything he has revealed about himself. And that's how the Lord gives his name here, by describing and defining who he is. He says, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? The Lord says an idol is only nearby. An idol is local. An idol is limited because an idol is created in man's heart. It can't see anything. It can't know anything. It can't do anything because it doesn't exist. But the Lord says, no, I'm not like that. I'm not a God just nearby, am I? Aren't I also God far away? Aren't I the true God who fills heaven and earth? Aren't I the true God, not who is equal to you, but who is far and above you, who knows your every thought before you think it, who knows your every word before you speak it, who knows every action before you do it? That is the name of the Lord. The name of our Lord is God who loved us and paid for all of our sins by the death of Jesus Christ on his cross. There are no more sacrifices that we can have or need to make. When we die, we will go directly to heaven. If you're an unbeliever, you will go directly to hell. The Bible is my word. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is true and changeless as I am. See, that's why God's word is holy and changeless and true, because it is the word of him who is holy and changeless and true. This is really the battle that we are in as Orthodox Christians and confessional historical Lutherans. It's false prophets versus true prophets. It's lies and deceit versus the truth. It's what comes out of man's heart and mind versus what comes out of the mouth of the Lord. We need to have our spiritual antennae up and active so that we know God's word and we recognize a lie or a deceit or a dream when we hear it. You and I must have our spiritual antennae up so that we recognize the flattering, self-seeking false prophets who are blowing smoke, trying to turn us away from the true God or from the work of our Savior that He did for us completely on the cross. This has nothing to do with interpretation. It is a matter of walking in the counsel of God and listening to it or not. Why do we care? Because our hearts and minds are at stake. The hearts and minds of our fellow Christians in the Holy Christian Church, the Communion of Saints, are at stake. We don't want to be lied to, and we don't want them to be lied to either, because the consequence is great. The Lord said of these false prophets, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways. and from their evil deeds. Let those who have the Word of God speak it faithfully so that we don't lose the name of the true God. Because that name does not lead us to false hope, but to the certain hope of the forgiveness of sins and salvation in heaven with Christ. Amen.